God. He has, you know, we sing a song, we have lost our praise. Thank God, He has lost His smile. Hallelujah. Amen. We bless the Lord at this time. We're going to dismiss the children. Amen. Are we dismissing the teenagers as well? All right. I think we'll keep the teenagers only because, amen. Praise the Lord. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Come on, can we say praise the Lord? Amen. I know it's been a long week. Hallelujah. But don't quit yet. Amen. Don't quit yet. Amen. God is still good. And His mercy still endures forever. Amen. So we bless the Lord on tonight. Now, how many are working on their spiritual journals? Amen. How many are keeping up with their God time? The real purpose of the spiritual journal is not all that other stuff. We just want to make sure we're giving God His time. Amen. So that, you know, life has a way of robbing us of time. There are some things that are fixed in life. These are the fixed things. There's only 7 days in a week. That's fixed. There's only 24 hours in a day. That's fixed. Amen. So if you don't fix God within those 7 days and 24 hours, then circumstances have a way of robbing God of His fixed time. So we do the journals, amen, because I know my desire. The psalmist said one thing, not two things, not three things, but one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I
seek after.
That's the reason we got the journal, because we want to seek after that one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord
all the days
of my life, to behold the
beauty
of the Lord and to inquire
in His temple.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And how many are working on their right mind?
Hallelujah.
I said, how many are working on the right mind? Amen. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, he says, finally, my brethren. That finally don't mean it's the end. It means furthermore. And to add on to what I already said, because he had already told them, he said, be careful for nothing. But in all, do you know what it means when God says all things? Amen. Don't care for me. Don't, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to worry about what God has to do. He says, be careful for nothing. But in all things, let your request be made known. But how? Through prayer and supplication with
thanksgiving.
Amen. That's the only way you can let your request be made known unto God. Amen. Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And he said that when you do it the right way, then the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, then finally. Can we say finally?
Finally.
Lord, there's nothing like having a right mind. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever, I know we know this because we've been doing this since January 1st. That's all right. I'm going too slow. Let me speed it up. I will speed it up. You put it up on the screen. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on. You know, the world, the successful people, motivational speakers, you know where they get their main thoughts from? The Bible. Motivational speakers, amen, and those that try to inspire others get their main thoughts from the Bible. And one of the main things they tell you to do is get rid of all that negative stuff that's in your mind. Amen. Because whatever you dwell and focus on negatively, I'm not going to give you a psychology class, but I'm going to help you out a little bit. Amen. Not to say it's not psychology and it's not psychoanalyzing, but from the time we're born, everything that we come in contact with stays in our subconscious mind. Everything stays in our subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind does not discriminate. It receives the good and it receives the bad. Amen. And if you really look back over your many of your phobias, Many of the real issues you have are impact that was on your, from your subconscious mind when you were at the formative age. So those things impact you. The subconscious mind is like a garbage can. It receives everything. But then the subconscious mind has a way of influencing you when you are conscious. Now your conscious mind is discriminating. It deciphers. In other words, the conscious mind gets rid of the bad and it only keeps the good. But the subconscious mind receives everything. So what motivational speakers try to get you to do is to work on your subconscious mind, get rid of all of the negative things. Well, can't we just quote Philippians 4:8? Amen. Philippians 4:8 gets rid of everything. Amen. And now they don't like to use the Bible. They say higher powers, infinite powers. There's no higher power than God. There's no other infinite power other than God. So they use the Bible. You know, I was reading one of the motivational speakers years ago, and he's talking about you got to have faith in God to inspire the secular world. Well, how does the world take God's principles? How does the world take God's principles and expound on them to the point that they're successful? But then we're in church, and we don't use the very principles that God has given us. Amen. So we need to work on the right mind. Now, to work on the right mind, you gotta unclutter all of that stuff that's up there. You know, jealousy, anger, wrath, and just foolishness. You gotta get rid of that out of your mind, because as long as it stays there, it will find expression. I don't care how much you think you are, as long as you keep all that negative stuff built up, it will eventually find expression. That's over. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Get to the word. But what I'm trying to say, it's hard to have a right mind when you got everything else going through your mind but God's word.
Amen.
Amen. No wonder the psalmist said, thy word have I hid where? Thy word have I hid in my heart. We need to be so close to God that all of the foolishness, all the insignificant things, we need to eliminate them. Amen. And let God have the preeminence. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Amen. I'm going to finish what I started last week about when God speaks to you. Now, whenever God speaks to us, amen, we can clearly know when God has spoken to us. Whenever God speaks, what the devil likes to do is he tries to mix up the word of God in our mind so that he can get the advantage. But when God speaks to us, we need to hear from God. Amen. So we're going to read in Acts chapter 26, verse 12 through 19. Whenever God speaks, the devil will try to distort the word of God. He'll try to take away the significance. He'll try to minimize God's word so that he can have the advantage. You know, a lot of times you say, wow, it seemed easier before I got saved. Yes, it was easier before you got saved because the devil already had you. So once you get saved, it gets harder. It gets harder because the devil puts traps trying to get you back. Amen. And that's why the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Anybody here righteous?
Righteous.
Well, don't be surprised when you get trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the good thing, the scripture says, the Lord will deliver them out of them
all.
What a blessing to know that as long as we stay right, God is a deliverer. Verse 12 reads, whereupon have I went to Damascus with authority. Do we have it? Acts chapter 26, verse 12. Amen. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say wait.
Wait.
Well, that means I got to hear more than me reading. Come on. I know it's hard. Maybe we need to bring the praise team back up here and sing a couple more songs and pump it up. Amen. But Minister Simon didn't bring the six songs, so he messed up. Amen. Let's go back to verse 12. You got to do something to get y'all to relax.
Yeah.
The week's been hard. Things have been toiling, things have been beating you up. And when you come to church, if you don't leave yourself outside the door, you have missed the word that God has intended for you. Amen. So you need to eliminate some things. Verse 12 reads, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, isn't that so good when God calls you, he don't call you in a tongue you don't know? Even though Paul knew seven languages. When God speaks to us, he speaks to us in a language which we can understand. Amen. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto this for this
purpose.
God doesn't just make a vain show. God doesn't just speak to us for vanity's sake, but when God speaks to us, he has a definite purpose. Amen. For this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open the eyes
and to turn them from darkness to light.
He's opened them what? To turn them from darkness to light. Now, Paul said, this is my purpose. Not only am I going to bring them from darkness to light, but from the
power of Satan unto God.
Paul even knew at this time the adversary to living right was the devil. So he's bringing us from darkness to light and from the power of who? Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now Paul said, I heard this. I received this from God. I understood my purpose. Amen. It was not vague. It was a definite. When God speaks to you, God's not vague. God doesn't leave it up to chance or guessing. When he speaks specifically. But this is what we need to do. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Paul had a purpose. But how many know when you have a purpose? And Paul had a great call on his life. But how many know the greater the calling, the greater the fight? The greater the calling, the greater the fight. When you are saved in the church, you fight. When you become a minister or a deacon, you fight harder. When you become an elder, you fight even harder. And the higher God takes you, the greater the fight, because the higher you go, the more of a threat you are to the devil's kingdom. The devil fully understands that when God calls us, he's called us to be a witness. Amen. Does not it say in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you have received power to be witnesses. The devil knows. What's the power to be a witness? That's the Holy Ghost. That's a threat to his kingdom. Amen. Remember that old song we used to sing, Satan, we're going to tear your
kingdom down.
We're going to tear your kingdom down. You've been building your kingdom all over this world. But Satan, we're going to tear. Hallelujah. We're going to tear it down. Amen. But the devil is never convinced that we are saved. He's never, he doesn't stop fighting. Now, when God calls Solomon, who was the wisest man ever, it took, how long did it take the devil to get Solomon when he finally got him?
40 years.
40 years, but he finally got him. You know why? Because what, and that's why I said we need our spiritual journey, because what we don't realize is the devil, he's, listen, he can't just come and say, you're going to sin, you're going to do this, you're going to do the other, because you can see that. So what he does is he attacks you little by little. The devil is a spiritual pilferer. You know what a pilferer is? Okay, look it up. No. The pilferer is this, and this is what a lot of people do. They steal little by little. Because when someone steals 10 cents, you don't realize it. But if they steal 10 cents long enough, 10 cents becomes 50 cents. Then 50 cents becomes a dollar. Then a dollar becomes $10. And then $10 becomes $100. What is happening how? Little by little. So you don't recognize that that spiritual pilferer is stealing your righteousness. He's clogging your mind. He's blinding you, but he's not doing it all at once because we're too wise. Solomon was too wise for the devil to get him all at once. So he said, the devil, one thing about the devil, he doesn't have a short-term plan. He'll take however long it takes to get every last one of us. It took him 40 years to get him, but he finally got him. Amen. But Paul said, when God gave me my vision, I was not disobedient to the
heavenly vision.
Now, do you think the devil was persuaded by this?
Sure.
Well, let's read. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's find out what did Paul have to really go through. Amen. And we know that Paul said, he said, I was not a whip behind the chief apostle. Amen. They always looked at Paul as though his ministry was inferior because he was not one that walked or saw Jesus. But what they did not realize is that the Lord himself trained and taught Paul for 3.5 years out in the Arabian desert. Amen. So they didn't know that God had a special calling and a special training and teaching for Paul. Amen. Lord, please take me aside. Please speak to me privately and teach me. Verse 22 reads, this is Paul trying to just substantiate his calling in God. He said, are they Jews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? You know, he said, they don't have nothing on me. Amen. Verse 23, he said, are they ministers of Christ? He said, now speak as a fool. He said, I'm just speaking in the flesh, basically. I am more. Now, this is what Paul endured because he was not disobedient to the what?
Heavenly
vision. When God spoke, irregardless of what came against him, he was not disobedient. He said, labors more abundantly in stripes. That means he was beaten more above measure, in prisons more frequently, in the threats of death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received our 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. But the devil wasn't convinced. So he was constantly out to get him. Amen. He says, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own. He said, the very people that I should have felt comfortable with, I had to keep a watch over my back for my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among, everywhere Paul went, he had troubles. But he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said, in weariness and in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and naked. Now, if we had about one or two of those, amen? If we had about one or two, we would be on the verge of quitting. Because we would say, you know, and this is one of the misconceptions in church, when you get saved, it's easy, it's all downstream from that. Absolutely not. Amen. Absolutely not. We'll go over it a little more when we get to Acts chapter 14. So Paul went through all of these hardships. Now let's go to Acts chapter 20. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. When God speaks to you, that doesn't mean life is going to get easy. But you have to have a mind to accept the challenges. Amen. So when Saul heard the Lord speak to him, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. Acts chapter 20, and let's go to verse, because I don't want you all to leave. I don't want to leave. Let's go to verse 17. Actually, let's go to verse 16 first. Now, Paul's challenges and his troubles always came when he went back to Jerusalem. But Paul, amen, refused to be intimidated. Paul knew God's call in his life, and he refused to be intimidated. So verse 16 reads, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, it's good when you got that kind of testimony. You know, not you heard, but you know. He says unto them, he says, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all. That's the number one thing. Just have a mind that's humble, not exalted, but in humility of mind, and with, he's doing, this is Paul. Salvation is not always easy. And when God speaks to you, you got to be ready to endure hardness as a what kind of soldier? What kind of soldier?
Good soldier.
A good soldier. Hardness, the trials, the tests. This is part of your proving that you want to be counted worthy to be a part of God's army. Amen. So it says, and temptations which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews, and I kept back nothing from you. Let's skip down to verse 22. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the
spirit.
As long as you stay in the spirit, hallelujah, you don't have to worry about a thing, because God is with you. He said, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness in
every city.
Paul said, everywhere I go, the Holy Ghost is already witness unto me, save in every city, saying that bonds and
riches,
he got into hardness, many other afflictions of the righteous await me. But Paul said, I know what God said to me. So I'm telling you, I've had these troubles, I've had these trials, I've had tears, I've had afflictions. He said, but because I'm not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but none of these things, I'm going through it, but I'm still staying the course. I heard and I know what God says to me. I refuse to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. We read in Acts 22, Paul said, everybody saw the light, but only he heard the voice. When God speaks to you, You can't allow anything to hinder you from what God wants you to do. Amen. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might
finish my course.
Are you ready to finish? A lot of us started. Who's going to finish? And he said, I'm going to finish with sadness. When I come to church, everybody's going to lift me up. Paul said, I went through all of that, but I still got joy. Lord, I'm going to finish my course with joy. Amen. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. Let us continue on to Acts chapter 21. So Paul said, I've gone through all of that, but I'm still staying the course. Now, I wonder what things are presently preventing us from doing what we know God has told us to do. What are the fears? You know, the number one challenge to us doing what God wants us to do is fear, indecision, and procrastination. Because we are afraid. If God's spirit is in us and it's not the spirit of fear, what are we afraid of? Amen. Paul stayed the course. Verse 10 reads, now we just read that he determined he's going where? To Jerusalem. Now, when God speaks to you, the devil uses some of the closest thing to you to hinder you. When God speaks to you, he uses the closest things to hinder you. Remember when David wanted to go out and fight Goliath? Who tried to discourage him? His brothers. Then after he got past the discouragement of his brother, it was the king who was in authority trying to discourage him. But when you know when God has spoken to you, you can't let the voice of anyone deter you from your calling in God. Amen. Verse 10 reads, and when we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hand and feet and said, thus said
the Holy Ghost.
Paul knew in advance what he was going to get into, but he still refused to allow that to move him. He said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, if some of us had heard that, we wouldn't have gone to Jerusalem. Amen? But Paul knew what God had told him to do. And though he knew the dangers, he knew the challenges, he refused to allow that to stop him. And then if we just examine some of the minuscule trials that we go through, every time you turn around, we want to quit. Don't be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Somebody said, well, I didn't get a vision. Yes, you did. Once you got saved, you got the vision. Because that's the only way you got saved. God had to stop you in your tracks to save you. So God gave you a vision. Once he gave you a vision, you had a calling. We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to help deliver from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Even no matter where we go, it's a calling. Amen. But the devil, what he does is this. He uses your trials and circumstances to keep you bound so you can't help anybody else. The world is lost and on their way to hell, and you can't get out of your little petty trials. Amen. Paul said there, what kind of afflictions? And they only last a moment. He said, but if you go through them, they work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. They're like afflictions. They only last a moment. You know what Paul, in essence, you know what Paul said? Get over it. You can't stay down forever. You can't stay in that state forever. God has spoken to you and given you a calling. Why are you still down? Light afflictions, they only last for what? A moment. Then he says, you know what? Paul said, you know what? We're like sheep. We're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Amen. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And Paul goes on to talk about why our outward man, Lord, thank you. Everything that God permits us to go through, he's trying to kill me, but the outward man is perishing. It's too much of us. When the outward man perishes, the inward man is being renewed. How? You know what John the Baptist said? He must increase, and I must decrease. God is trying to, we were in the right area. That's right. I mean, that's what that's right. The biggest problem is too many of us are increasing and God is decreasing. You're never going to get to the place of God where you need to be as long as you keep increasing and God keeps decreasing. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for one quick second. Then we'll come back to this. I'll finish this up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because Paul talks about the hidden things of dishonesty and handling the word of God craftily. Amen. Let's start in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We want to hear God's voice. We want to hear what God speaks. But then we want to do something with what we hear. Samuel, outside of Elijah, was the greatest one of the greatest prophets in Israel. Why? Because he heard from God directly. And then when God spoke to Samuel, Samuel never deterred from his course. He stayed the course. And as a result of staying the course, God elevated him and used him mightily. Amen. You know, Elijah was such a mighty man of God. I don't know if many of y'all have read this in the scripture. He was such a mighty man of God. They just said there was a time when the Syrians were raiding a place and they took a man's body and threw it in his grave. And the man got up and walked. That's a mighty spirit. That's mighty. They threw the dead man in the grave and the man got up and went with them. Lord, give me that kind of spirit. I said, give me that kind of spirit. Somebody said, that ain't true. Yes, it is. I just forgot where it's at. But it's in there. They threw him in the grave. The dead man got up. That's the kind of power you have when you are a prophet of God and you're right with God. Amen. Verse 1 read, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received
mercy.
How many have received mercy? Then we are not to? You don't faint. God has given you mercy. Don't quit on God. Don't give up on God. But have renounced dishonesty is hidden. You can't see that, but guess what? God can. Having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in, not saying one thing and doing another. We're walking in truthfulness. Amen. The Bible says in sincerity and in truth, not the bread of wickedness and unrighteousness, but we're walking in sincerity and in truth, nor handling the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, commending commending ourselves how? I know it's late at night. The screen is a little small. Can't see the big words. Amen. But we're committing ourselves what?
Every man's
conscience. You don't quit because somebody is watching you. You got saved, and they're watching your walk. And then when you quit, how many faith have you destroyed? Because you didn't stay the course. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So he said, because they're watching you, you got to do what's right in their conscience. In the Somebody said, I just do it for God. No, he said, do it for their conscience in the sight of God. Because when you mess up, they said, we already know what nothing to salvation. So you can't quit. You can't give up. God has been too good. Amen. But if I, we call to be a what? A witness. But if I, do you have the gospel? If you say you got the gospel, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are
lost.
You got to live for God. You received, you heard, he spoke it. Now what are you going to do with what you've heard? Lord, thank you. I refuse to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. It's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world is what? Blinded the mind of them which? We gotta do a job. Too many people are dying and going to hell. As my wife said when she did a last altar call, how many of your friends have you not told about Jesus? And in hell they lifted up their eyes. Anyone, if they could come back and ask you, they would just say, why? Couldn't you have at least warned me about the place I was going to? Amen. In whom the God of the world has blinded the mind of them to believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should what? Should shine unto them. But look at, how does it shine unto them? For we preach not ourselves, but what? Don't talk about your accomplishment. Lift up Jesus. Don't talk about what you did. Let's lift up Jesus. Don't talk about the message you preached in 1922. And just lift up Jesus. And y'all know I ain't talking about nobody because ain't none of us been here in 1922. I know some of y'all count back. I mean, who's here in 19? Nobody's here in 1922. All right. But what I said, so many of us live in the laurels of what we did yesterday. Every day with Jesus is a new day.
Yes.
Every day that we live is a new day.
Amen.
Amen. So don't rest in what you did. It's time for us to lift Jesus up right now. Then he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll draw all men. Are you lifting up Jesus? Hallelujah. Are you let's lift. Can we lift him? Hey, come on, lift him up. You gotta stand up for this. Just lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto you. Let's lift him up. Forget about you. Let's lift up Jesus. Amen. And ourselves, your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face. We're going to get into all that doctrinal stuff, but in the what? Face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in, well, why is it in earthen vessels? That the what?
Excellent.
Of the power may be of God. What does Psalm of Praise say? It's not about us. It's not about us. But it's all about
Jesus.
It's not about you. It's about
Jesus.
But you know what? Now, the devil blinds. He even blinds the church. Because instead of you realizing your calling and that you are the light of the world, you put your light under a bushel. You put your light under a candle. And you don't shine in the midst of the darkness. The wonderful thing about Jesus is that Jesus was the light of the world, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness
comprehended it not.
Wherever Jesus went, that darkness had to flee. Because we are the light of the world. We are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth. God has called us. He's spoken to us. What are you doing with what God has said to you? Amen. He said, now, we are troubled on what side? Yet not
distressed.
I wanted to do we have any distress? You know you got the trouble. It's time to get over it. We are perplexed, but not, it's not hopeless. Whatever you're going through, as long as you know Jesus, there is hope. Amen. Persecuted, but not cast down. Always bearing about in the body the what? You're bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the what? Life also of Christ might be made manifest in. God is taking us through all that. God is taking us through all that so that he can shine through you. Now, are you winning or losing? Are you glorifying God? Are you just, you're part of the silhouette? You know what's the part of a silhouette? It loses its distinction. Amen. If I take a picture of you, I can see your eyes, your ear, everything. But when you have a silhouette, it's just there. You don't know what, it could be anybody, because it's lost its form or distinction. How many in the church have become spiritual silhouettes that don't really have a form or any real distinction for God? Amen. For we which live are always delivered unto death for who? For Jesus' sake, that the life might be made manifest in our flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life, get over it. Whatever you're going through, just get over it. If I can help somebody, the songwriter said, then mine. If I can help somebody, who are you helping? How many people do you come in contact with? I see people everywhere I go, I tell them about Jesus. I learned from my wife. Everywhere my wife goes, she got a friend. She ain't gonna outdo me. No matter where we go, she got a friend. She said something to the lady, well, I said, oh, you're about to get told off. And the lady came up and said, oh, hi, friend. I was like, wow. So I'm learning. Everywhere you go, get a friend. You know why? Because we are the light the world. Do you realize the great responsibility that we have to be a witness for God and a light? Wherever you go, I take my light. Everywhere I go, I see people, I see them smoking cigarettes, I said, man, you need to put them cigarettes down. I don't say it. No, I'm not rude. I ain't crazy. But I do let them know. I said, man, you know, I just saw my father die from smoking cigarettes. I said, if you could have seen what my father went through, I guarantee you you'll never smoke another cigarette. And one of the guys said, you know what, this is what he told me after, he was so dumb. He said, I go to the gym, I work out, I do all this. He said, then I turn around and pay to buy cigarettes and kill myself. He said, I'm exercising to have life, but then I'm smoking and killing myself. I said, well, you said that. But you know what, I tell them, it's up to them to do it, but God has called me to be his mouthpiece. God forbid I'm going to go anywhere, amen, and let people live wrong and be, I'm going to be, if I can help them, I'm going to help them. And if I say something, they get ugly, I'll just keep moving. But we're the light of the world. So when do you turn your light off? Amen. When do you turn it off? Has God spoken to you? Has God given you a specific calling? If you're saved, he spoke. You are the witness and the light of the world. Amen. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you for all things. Can we read this together? Everybody that's wallowing in self-pity, everybody that can't manage to pick their head up. You know, I came out the post office today and this guy, it was kind of funny. I came out the post office and then this guy said, he thought he knew me. He said, man, pick your head up. I said, okay. He said, oh, sorry, I thought you were somebody else. I said, well, I still need to pick my head up. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were somebody else. I said, that's right, I must have my head down and need to pick it up anyway. So we got a good laugh out of it. But we got to pick it up. Amen. People are watching us everywhere we go. even coming out the post office, amen. For all things and for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many do what? Redound to the glory of God. Now let's go back to Acts 21. Hey, what time is it? I left my phone and I left my watch. What time is it? 8:26. So I got to do a half hour message in 5 minutes. Let's go. All right, so let's go back to Acts 21. It says, verse 11 said, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. Verse 12 said, and when we heard these things, now when God speaks to you, someone is going to try to discourage you. They're not being used by God, because God told you what to do. So when someone is telling you the opposite, now do you think God is fickle-minded? Amen. Do you think God gives you two messages? Amen. God gives us one message. So when, now listen, just for now, you point, look at somebody. Look at somebody. Say, now you know.
Now you know.
Nobody was there. I tell you. Now you know what God said to you. Don't you let anybody change your mind. Are you convinced? Do you know what God said to you? You know what God has said to you. Don't you let anybody, don't you let anything change your mind, because God has spoken directly to you. He said, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place tried to change his mind. Tried to not get him to do what God had told him to do. Now, do you know, these aren't the brethren. These are the laity. These are the elders. These are leaders. Because of their emotions, they were getting in God's way. Not just anybody. These were leaders. Amen. Then Paul asked and said, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? He said, for I am not ready to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for what? The name. Whatever you go through, as long as it's for the name of the Lord, deal with it and get over it. Everything that we go through is for the name of the Lord. Somebody is watching you, whatever you're going through. If you're married, your spouse is watching you. If you got children, they're watching you. If you with a family, they're watching you. So you got to get over it. Amen. Because they're watching you. And they're watching your response. And then you ask, why do you act like that? Because they are parroting what they say. Not in our church. This is for the message we're sending out. I better heard them say down south, lesson is you. Lesson is you. Amen. And when now they were in God's way now, right? And when he would not be persuaded. Now, they said what? The will. So that means if they tell them the will of the Lord be done, what were they doing before? They were hindering the work of God. Now they say the will of the Lord be done. Well, what were you doing before? You were hindering the work of God because of the emotions. Hardships and trials reveal an inner character trait in us spiritually. In your hardship, if every time you get a trial, you quit, you're downcast, you're downtrodden. Paul says, I endured, I went, I fulfilled my, finished my ministry with what? Joy. If every time you get a trial, you beat down and can't lift your head up, somebody is watching you. Then later on, you try to tell them something, they can't hear what you're saying for seeing what you did. Paul, in this test, endured. He said, why stop weeping and break my heart. I know what God told me to do, and I refuse to let anybody stop me. Now, you know they were being used, because then they say, okay, then the will of the Lord. So they knew they were fighting. They were influencing contrary to God because of the emotions. You have to keep those emotions in check. If you allow your emotions to run rampant, we're going to finish in Matthew chapter 16. And I'm not going to even come back to these notes next week, Lord willing, we do something different. All right, Matthew chapter 16. Amen. We want to just be, how many want to be so close to God that what God thinks, we feel, what God's saying, we know and understand? Amen. We're going to read this real fast, just to show you what happens when we allow our emotions to get the better of us. Amen. The emotions are one of the tools the devil used to get the advantage. Didn't the scripture say we're not ignorant of his
devices?
Lest he should get the advantage of us. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day. I said, you know, there's a Bible scripture. Boy, it indicts a lot of men. I said, oh, what are you going with this? I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It indicts a lot of men because the Bible says, give honor. It didn't say the weaker, but give honor to the women as the what? Weaker vessel that your what? Prayers be not hindered. He's like, that ain't in the Bible. I said, yes, it is. And I went to Peter and I showed it to him. He said, so you're trying to tell me that when I go back and forth with my wife and I don't let her have my way, my prayers are hindered? I said, I didn't say that. The Bible said it. Amen? So you know what it says? Oh, wow, we got to watch this. You know what women like to do? They say, you know what the pastor said? And my wife said, you know what you said? You know what the Bible, you know what that really means? Have peace, because blessed are. And men, you're stronger. You're too strong to be weak. So he didn't say they are the weaker. He said, but give honor to them that we have a weaker vessel because your prayers are hindered. A lot of people say, man, I just don't know why I can't get a prayer through. You know how you can't get a prayer through? Because when she fly off the hook, you fly off the hook. When she gets real bad, you get real bad. God said, well, I'm going to give you the remedy to keep peace in the house. The men say, ouch. This is your remedy. Give honor to them as a weaker vessel. Say, okay, well, they just doing what they're supposed to do, so let's let it go, and I'm going to keep praying so God can hear me. Because the minute you start going back and forth, your prayers are hindered. Amen? All right. So I say, amen. You can get back to the Bible. We didn't want to hear all that. I'm just trying to help you get your prayers through. Amen. Let them fly off the hook. Let them do everything. You know, just be like Stonewall Jackson. When it happened, just keep the stone wall. Amen. Verse, all right, let's go. We're going to finish up here. All right, and verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? And he, verse 15, he said to them, well, what, whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loose. You are blessed. You just got a what? Revelation from God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Now, let's get down to Peter and the emotion, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem. It's something about the Jerusalem. Paul had to go. Jesus had to go. Amen. And suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again. He said, this is what God's plan is for my life. But just like the brethren tried to hold back, so Paul, let's look at what Peter's trying to do. Amen. Verse 22 says, verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, Jesus knew his purpose. Jesus knew his calling. Jesus knew what God has spoken to his life as himself, because he is God. He knew his purpose and his calling. But someone was trying to hinder him from the very work that God had called him. Listen, if it happened to the Lord and Savior, don't you realize it's still the same test, the same trap that the devil would try to use against you? He tried to use it against God himself. You think you're going to escape? Amen. He says, rebuke him, saying, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. It's good to know that God knows who's speaking. Amen. That's why you have to know who is speaking. But he turned unto Peter and said, can we read this together? Get thee behind me. Wait a minute. Did he just bless him? Did he just give him the keys? What? How did Satan get in here? Because of the what? Emotions. The emotions, man or woman, will hinder you. In the scripture we read last week said, give no place to the devil. When you get too emotional and you don't bring those emotions in check, you open the door. And you can be guaranteed every time your emotions get out of check, you're going to have to apologize because you open the door and the devil is waiting to walk in. When you open that door, from the very one that Jesus said was blessed and had a revelation, now turns around and gets a revelation. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because Satan was now using Peter to try to prevent the Lord from fulfilling his purpose and calling. We have to be discerning enough to realize when the devil is trying to use someone to prevent us from what God has called us to do. We have to be discerning enough spiritually to realize, let them cry. But if you know that that's conflicting with the will of God in your life, walk out the door and say, get over it. I know what God is. Now, I'm not talking about being disrespectful. Amen. Because the Bible says, everybody read this in Proverbs, because we read one chapter of Proverbs every day. In the fourth month. So that means we read all these scriptures at least four times. Going to the fifth month. The Bible said, where there is no wood, fire goes out. You know what that means? When he, she, or it starts burning, take away the fire. Take away wood. And the fire go out. But you know what happens? When they start up, don't add to it. Keep throwing fire on, throwing wood on the fire. Because where there is no wood, the fire, it'll go out. Our emotions, in many times, run rampant. And when our emotions get rampant, the fire starts burning. When that fire starts burning, be assured God will not be glorified. So tonight, when God speaks to you, who are you going to allow? What are you going to allow to prevent you from doing what you know God has? has spoken for you to do. Paul said, don't weep and break my heart. Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Those emotions will not prevent me from my purpose, from my definite calling in God. Keep the emotions in check. As we all said, the elders, ministers, and all the workers come forward. Keep them in check. Because if you don't keep them in check, you can be guaranteed that they will hinder your work in God. They will hinder your calling in God. Tonight, we know God has called all of us to do something. What are we doing with what God has called us to do? Is God increasing? Are Jesus increasing in our lives? And we decreasing? Listen, is Jesus and the work he's called us to do increasing in our lives? And we are decreasing? Are we increasing and the work of God in our lives is decreasing? That's a very important question. Amen. You must give an account for the things done in your body. Don't we all want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful. If you're not faithful in that which is least, God will never commit the true treasures of God to your life. So tonight, when God speaks to you, whatever you're going through, it's now time to get over it in Jesus' name.